You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're going to listen to this wonderful Anthony Tonin track now. It's called Water Underground. You'll know it well. This is the live version that we had on playlist recently. And then we're going to be having a chat to Anthony very shortly.
I'm still in awe at how you pulled it all off. And driving through the dry lands, seeing irrigators installed, I think about the coup. You turned the rules on themselves. You engineered that miracle to free the water underground. They said you'd never take the council down, but you just found your way around. You called it a national crisis. You were in bed with the press. You understood from experience how to make it fast, oh, hard to digest, and you left them dumbfounded, unemployable, chose their replacements yourself. All the signs from the cities couldn't keep you from the water underground.
To sing with me. It's very easy. It goes like this.
Water underground. Water underground.
Water underground. Water underground.
It's good, but it needs more emotion. I'm gonna tell you how we're gonna get that emotion. You know, there is one part of the electromagnetic radiation spectrum we can detect. It's called the water window. Our eyes evolved underwater, and water absorbs almost all EM radiation, except for a thin band that we now call visible light. So with that in mind, a thought experiment. I want you to imagine that from beneath these sealed doors on either side of us, a dark, brackish pool of seawater is slowly flowing towards your feet. Now, being the maritime Aucklanders that you are, you're not overly concerned. It's just a little water. It's like camping in the Coromandel in summer. It's like a glorious ride over the Northwestern Cycleway in a spring tide. It's like Splore. All the good festivals have interactions with the sea now. But then that water starts to rise. It enters your shoes, and while the temperature is not unpleasant, you're becoming quite stressed out. And I want you to imagine that every time you sing the words water underground, the water level rises by this much. So we're gonna start calm, and then when our eyes need to adjust to see through the water window, by that time, we'll be quite frantic. Okay, let's go.
Water underground. Water underground.
That's good, keep it going.
One of those friends, call followed the rabbit hole to its end. And you knew what it meant to get involved. And the industry couldn't help you. No, none of the farmers you owed you. They let you fight in that pack alone. But with election still on hold, with the cattle turning up by the truckload, you can hear the drills working now on that water underground. Water underground, the water underground, out over your chin. Water underground, water underground, water underground, water underground, water underground, now it's up to your ears.
That was Anthony Tonnen, Water Underground, recorded live, and you were just saying at the Whanganui Opera House, is that right, Anthony?
No, that one was actually recorded at Stardome.
Oh, right.
In Auckland.
Oh, yeah. Very special. Well, it's very nice to have you in the studio. Welcome along, Anthony Tonnen.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, we are talking to you about a very cool show that you're doing tonight and tomorrow night at MOTAT as part of the Auckland Arts Festival. It's your Railland Tour, which has become quite an institution now at this point. But maybe a good place to start for people who aren't familiar with it is what is the premise of this show, Anthony? What's it all about?
The premise of Railland is to take an audience on a practical but magical public transport journey. And it started by often taking, you know, what people might think as a mundane journey, like a journey on the train from Britomart to Papatoetoe station, and then finding a community hall. Like, we've done Papatoetoe Town Hall, we've done the War Memorial Hall in Ellerslie.
Cool.
we've done halls. I'm always looking for halls that I don't know about that sit near a train station.
Mm-hmm.
And then in other places like Dunedin, we've even chartered trains.
That's cool, yeah.
This year I've tried to throw in buses as well, which is an interesting experience trying to sell them as wonderful, exciting things next to trains. But so I did a version of this show in Glen Innes.
Nice.
Just before lockdown, actually. It was at sort of a festival for festival people. I got a bunch of sort of arts festival industry people to get on a train at Britomart and go to this amazing theatre, Te Oro, in Glen Innes.
Yeah.
And from that, I started talking to the Auckland Arts Festival, and they had this idea to do it at MOTAT.
Mm.
And I said, oh, well, that'd be beautiful, but there has to be a journey. And they're like, right, yep, MOTAT 2 to MOTAT 1.
And on the tram.
Yeah. And it's actually great because the cool thing is MOTAT have some really special trams there, like the Wellington double-decker trams.
Yeah.
And they don't actually often come out. Usually you're riding on Melbourne trams.
That's very exciting then to, I guess, have these special trams make their re-debut maybe.
Yeah.
Out for a concert evening.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely premise, I think, because you get this kind of sense of community built around this experience that you're sharing together. Because sometimes when you go to a gig or you go to a concert, especially if it's a sit-down concert, it can be quite a You know, you walk in with the people you came with, maybe you sit in your seats, you watch the show and you leave, which is lovely. But there is something very special about you're all kind of on this adventure together. Have you found that there's like really interesting conversations or sort of, I guess, moments that happen when you've had these Railland journeys so far?
Yeah, the communal experience adds a lot, and it's not, we don't do a lot to the communal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we take public trains, the only thing that we do is we try to get everybody to enter through the same carriage, usually at the back of the train, and so, you know, Metlink or Auckland Transport don't know what's going on. They just see this bunch of people walking onto the back train and me rolling out a little red carpet. But there's no, it's not like there's no music or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still public transport. But I think there's something magical about a bunch of people in a carriage knowing that they're all going somewhere for the same purpose. And just knowing that they're there for the same purpose gives that sort of sense of community or something. So people just slowly start to talk to each other or not talk to each other. And they're just this energy develops. And in some ways it's a little bit of a shortcut, because I think sometimes at a gig, if a gig's done well and if you've got that right atmosphere and maybe an opening act and a nice bar and things like that, people kind of eventually the ice breaks and they talk to each other. But with Railland, that happens on the conveyance.
That's nice, yeah, yeah.
So people sort of are a bit more ready to go once the show starts, I think. Yeah.
And it is something that I've always kind of associated with your music and your performances, Anthony, is this kind of advocacy almost for the environment, for public transport, as you say, and for these kind of, I guess, facets of our life that we don't necessarily think about but are very crucial to how we exist. What is it about, I guess, trains or public transport or things like that that interests you? Why do you want to kind of work in that space?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just fell into it and liked something. I've always struggled with how to, you know, with the existential crises of our times. But at the same time, at the time that I moved to Auckland and started playing music and started volunteering at BFM and hanging out with Elam kids and stuff, at that time it was really uncool to be didactic in your song. I thought that's definitely not true now, but. Yeah, at that time it was just like, just make the coolest song and look at your feet and
hit that reverb pedal.
Yeah, and just knock people out with awesomeness, which is great. And I really felt that aesthetically too. And trying to write a protest song the way that you would have written it in the 1980s with There Is No Depression or something like that, it just doesn't work anymore. Like people are desensitized to it or something. And so, and I always just grappled with that question. I didn't have an answer to it. I mean, there's Marion Bates' Realty, but I still never really found it. And I guess with Railland, I kind of came to it by accident. But what I love about it is it gave me a way. What I realized is that if you can convince 150 people to go somewhere to see a show, what else can you convince them to do? Like the power of 150 people, like you could build a small building. You could, you know, or if you can say to them, look, I know you were going to pay $20 for the show anyway, but why don't you pay just a little bit more and we'll do this with it?
So
it was such a huge moment for me when we did that in Dunedin and chartered a train, because the government always says, oh, well, you know, if you want to have a trial of a train in Christchurch or Dunedin, well, you'll need a 10-year business case and you'll need you know, and it's time and there's so much waiting.
Yeah.
And what I realised is that if you can get 150 people to get on board with something,
totally,
you can make real things happen, even if it's just for one night. So I guess I saw somewhere that I could do something with.
Yeah.
But it became a little bit of a whirlpool, though. I've really, in some ways, it's taken more control of me than I thought it would.
You're now a slave to the trains. They are the
well, not just trains. And this year it's been buses too, because because I did such a big 20-day regional tour of New Zealand this year. And
not everywhere has a train. Some
not everywhere
places
has
have
a train.
Good bus system. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about it because since I've lived in Whanganui, you know, it's only when you leave a place that you appreciate what it had. And I think maybe the entire time I was in Auckland, I was always in a state of intense dissatisfaction with the buses.
Mm.
But now, whenever I visit, I just live in bliss. I realize how good they are, and also how much they've improved since I started out here, and how, you know, they used to all just have like different competing companies' logos on them, and now I'm looking at places like Whanganui that used to have frequent buses the way that Auckland has now.
And they're struggling a bit, are they?
Well, it's just not even in their sense of reality of what things could be. I mean, the bus goes every 2 hours in my neighbourhood.
Crikey, okay, yes, I see.
So there's a lot of power in what Auckland has done. And so I think Railland's also about the power of communities and cities, and the power of lots of people in one place that can get on a bus or a train and make it useful.
Absolutely. Well, if people want to get on a tram tonight and have a very good time at Motat, which is, I feel like, almost the hub of all transport in New Zealand, it all comes to rest at Motat. It's going to be kicking off, I think, 7 p.m. and 7:30 is when the trams leave at Motat and take you to the venue for where the gig will be happening.
Yeah, so you go to Motat 2, which is the one with the planes.
Nice.
And then you take the trams from there, and there's trams that leave at 7 and 7:30,
Awesome. And if people want to get tickets, I think there are still a few tickets available.
Yeah, at the Auckland Arts Festival website.
And there's also a show tomorrow night as well, and I think it sounds like it's going to be really fun. Thank you so much, Anthony, for coming in and speaking to us about the mighty Railland tour. I think we're going to play Railway Live now, because it fits with the theme a little bit, and it's a great tune. Thank you so much for coming in. It's great to have a chat with you. I hope you enjoy your gigs.
Thanks for your time.
They're electric. John just giggles on his saucer. Step out with groceries on your shoulder, maybe it's today. And the children snigger at the new sculpture. And a car speeds around the corner. And you try to make eye contact with the driver in time. Maybe it's today. 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 Maybe it's
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.